Any other comments about this case or questions about it? So he's still on the study right now.
So he, well, what I wanted to
I'm
ask...
I'm sorry, he progressed after.
So he's beginning to progress on enzalutamide with a rising PSA. Imaging still shows a couple of stable metastases, and I was wondering what this group would do.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that too. Matt, what do you think?
So this is a great example of contemporary metastatic CRPC. This guy's a great prognosis, right? He's now 14 years after his prostatectomy. He had a durable response to bicalutamide monotherapy, durable response to salvage GnRH agonist therapy. He's asymptomatic throughout the entire course of his illness, and then he's had a spectacular response to enzalutamide. So out of the gate, for many reasons, he has a better, far better than average prognosis. I would, in this patient, attempt to maintain him on enzalutamide as long as would be reasonably possible. Certainly would not stop based on PSA progression alone. I'd want to see compelling evidence of radiographic progression. And at that point, would enthusiastically treat him with the CYP17A inhibitor. And I think he's particularly likely to respond because of his durable response to other therapies. Responders tend to remain responders.
Dan?
I agree with Matt. The only question I would have at this point is, would you administer Cyclosporine to this patient? Because this is a slowly progressive patient who may actually do well with immune therapy over a long period of time. He hasn't had corticosteroids, so that makes him a good candidate. At least you don't have to taper him down off of prednisone or hydrocortisone. So I think that this would also be something I would consider in this patient.
How do you like the idea of CYP-T, Matt?
It's a reasonable consideration, this patient. I would enthusiastically treat him with the CYP17A inhibitor like abiraterone acetate.
Mario, what are your thoughts about management right now that he's progressing?
Well, I agree with what Matt said. The difference is between time to PSA progression and time to radiological progression are very marked in the pre-chemotherapy setting. You know, I was looking at the abiraterone data is with a median follow-up of 22 months, the time to PSA progression is about 11 months or so. And there was a huge difference in terms of month. I'm not saying that we know which one is the best trigger for this, but I usually try to follow these patients, especially if they well, and you know, there are several alternatives, but we don't have an established pathway. I would try to keep them on that drug, particularly if they benefited for a little longer. And I would attempt then to go on the next hormonal manipulation.
How do you like the idea of CYP-T?
Oh yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, the traditional pathway that we've done over the past several years was a non-steroidal antiandrogen followed by ketoconazole, and at this point I would do the same. I would keep patients on enzalutamide and then, or maybe even just add enzalutamide, although I would caution that we don't know the data. We don't have great data in terms of safety yet, but I would anticipate it's probably going to be safe. It's certainly going to be very expensive.
So what's going on with this patient? What are you thinking?
So this patient got even more interesting over time. So we kept him on enzalutamide and imaged him. There was no radiographic progression, but the PSA continued to rise quite consistently for maybe 3 or 4 months from a consistently undetectable level to about 1.5. At that time, he was treated with Cyclosporine, tolerated that therapy well, and several months after CYP-T therapy was completed, his PSA began to drop and drop back to undetectable levels where he is now, which is about 9 months later.